Welcome back to the Motley Fool Radio Show, and now it's time to go to the Fool Phones, but a special Fool Phone segment this week because it's our How's Business special here on the Motley Fool Radio Show. We do it every year. We know many of you are doing many interesting things across America. We're here to learn what you do and how's business. I welcome, as always, Diana Yoakum. Diana, how are you?
I'm great, David. Thank
you. How's business?
Business is going well, David.
Given that you work for our company, I'm glad to hear that. But we're not here to talk about us. We're here to talk about all of you. And I love doing this segment every year. I'm fired up. Let's go to the phones. 866-677-3665. Let's go to Waverly, Tennessee. Ed is on the line. Ed, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much.
Ed, what is business and how's business?
Well, what is business is I'm a puppeteer, and business is pretty good, actually.
Now, you say puppeteer. Does that mean that you set up the four kids? You show up at birthday parties, set up the whole thing, and then you've got a bunch of different finger puppets, or do you have a mannequin, or what's going on?
Actually, I am part of a touring puppet theater company. There are four puppeteers in the company. We tour all over the United States doing puppet theater, basically for anybody that will pay us.
And is that a full-time job for you?
That is a full-time job. That is how I make my living.
So you are getting,
strangely enough,
you are getting paid. You and your compatriots are getting paid enough.
Yes, yes, we are. Yeah.
How much does it come to roughly on it? Let's say in a good year.
Oh wow, in a good year. I'm going to go with a ballpark figure, maybe $45,000.
That's great.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's a really good year. But you know,
are you having to knock yourself out, travel all over the place to rack up that much money?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because we are a primarily touring theater, so we do go, as I said, all over the country, you know, all the way from maybe New Hampshire to Florida, back up to Michigan, and then back down to Texas. So, yeah, we're pretty busy going here and there, try to do it in a tour, in a geographical location when we can, but well, sometimes it doesn't work out that way.
That's wonderful. Ed, we want to give you an opportunity to mention the name of your company, because we allow a little bit of promotion. We love small businesses on this show.
Awesome. The name is Wood and Strings Puppet Theater.
Can I encounter you on the World Wide Web?
You certainly can at woodandstrings.net.
Excellent.
Don't go to .com because of a guitar maker in Massachusetts. Totally different guy.
Understood. Not connected with the business at all.
And I was going to ask what kind of puppets, but I am going to assume we're talking marionettes.
Actually, you know what? We have one show that's marionettes, but each one of our, we have four productions we tour, and each production has its own style of puppetry. One features classical puppets from around the world, like Japanese bunraku and Indonesian shadow puppets. Oh. One's rod puppets. One is body puppets. We actually get inside, and then we have one that's marionettes. So,
what are the shows about? Are these all kids shows? Are they classics? Are there any, you know, burlesque, adult, risque puppet shows you're doing?
Actually, everything we do is for what we call a general audience. So, you know, being puppetry, most folks we assume we're for kids. But all of our shows are for anybody. I mean, the adults who come to the show enjoy it just as much as the kids do. As a matter of fact, we do perform down in San Antonio, Texas every year. Lady brings us in every year to do the same show, and we have sold out crowds. And it's the only show that parents come up and say, you know, I enjoyed this more, I think, than my children did. So we're doing a wide variety of stuff. At least try to.
That's got to be very gratifying. Let me ask you, Ed, have you ever had a really tough experience? Maybe a show that went awry or an audience that was a little too rowdy?
Yes, both. I think the worst thing ever happened is we were taking some covering off the puppets to set up for a show in Mississippi, and we noticed one of the puppets has lost his head.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's usually not a good thing. So we had to do a really quick repair, but we were able to put it all together and go on with the show. As I say, the show must go on.
But there wasn't a lynch mob or anything. You weren't actually getting attacked here. I was looking for the rowdy crowd that ends up trashing your stage that you've set up. You haven't had any bad experiences like that?
The rowdy crowds are usually the 7th and 8th graders. Because we waltz in, no matter how cool our puppets are, we say we're going to do a puppet show, and they're just totally unimpressed from the very beginning.
They're too cool.
That
for
makes
you.
Total
exactly.
sense
so
to me.
Like, whatever, so.
And it sounds like you're part of a successful operation. Congratulations. I assume you're pursuing something you really enjoy.
I do. I'm the luckiest and most blessed person in the world because I've wanted to be a puppeteer ever since I was 5 years old.
Mm.
And I'm actually doing it and making a living at it. So you can't ask for better than that, you know.
Let's close by saying here's to the age of puppetry. I hope that we're in the midst of it and it only gets goldener.
Hey, I love that idea. Yeah, sounds good to me.
Ed, good luck. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You guys take care.
It's our How's Business special. We're asking you what you do and what we can learn from that all across America. Let's go to Francis. Francis, welcome to the show.
Hi there.
Frances, what is your business?
Well, I take care of ladies who have had breast surgery, and I fit them for their bras and their prosthetics.
Wow. Well, we know that it's a major problem in this country. Breast cancer, obviously, a lot of people fighting hard against that. You are seeing the unfortunate other end of that, where you're trying to help women feel better about themselves and look just like any other woman.
Exactly.
So this is after women have a mastectomy, then, so that they can, look the same as they did in their clothes after surgery. Is that correct?
It's actually a combination. You want, of course, for the woman to look the same as she did before, mm-hmm. but more importantly, it's replacing the body weight, which a lot of people don't realize. If a woman loses a breast, it affects her back and her neck and her shoulders because the muscles in the back react differently to the differences of the weights in the front.
Mm-hmm.
It's
that
like
makes absolute
going to the
sense.
Gym and working out on just one side and developing one side of your body and the other side weakening.
That's very interesting. I've never even thought about that
makes
result.
Total sense.
Explain to me exactly how the process works. How long does it take? When do you first meet with a patient or a client?
The patient has to be released from the doctor first. It can take anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks, depending on her healing period,
mm-hmm.
Before she can actually go into a breast form and the proper bras. Sometimes it takes longer if there's complications, but usually 4 to 6 weeks for her to go into anything. And then she'll come in. She gets measured. And if it's a single-side surgery, we have to take in consideration the existing breast, the size of that, her age, mm-hmm. The condition, whether she's a younger woman or an older woman. I've handled women anywhere from age 22 up to age 104.
Mm. Wow.
So it's a broad spectrum there.
Mm-hmm.
And is this a business that you run? Do you have partners? How many are you doing in a week? What is it like as a business?
I personally work for a company. We've handled actually thousands of women. They come in, we give them their time. Sometimes we do it over the phone where we have, if they're in a very rural area where they don't have access to any help, we help them out and talk to them over the phone and get the information we need.
What have you learned? How long have you been doing this to close, Francis?
About 11 years.
What have you learned in 11 years?
I've learned that the human spirit is wonderful. The gift of survival is terrific, and that most women are extremely strong.
I would have to agree. I think that's wonderful. I know several breast cancer survivors and several who have had mastectomies, and I know that your job is a very important one. And even though it's not one that, necessarily directly relates to the survival of the person, it really does have something to say about the quality of life.
Exactly. I mean, I've had women that I've taken care of that I knew I wasn't going to see them in another year. I just knew it, because we knew what the condition was.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they were still standing strong, and it's a great lesson to learn, and it's the most rewarding thing I can imagine doing.
Mm. Francis, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
The phone number is 866-NPR-FOOL. Let's go to Cicero, Indiana. Steven's on the line. Steven, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much.
What is business and how's business?
What is business? Well, I'm a professional that deals with reproduction leather fire buckets and also original leather fire buckets. And business is very good. It has been for 25 years.
Explain leather fire buckets to us.
Okay.
I got the leather part, by the way, but I have to say I don't know what fire buckets are and why they'd be leather.
Okay, quick primer. Going back to the 17th century, people made buckets out of leather. They would hold 2 or 3 gallons, and these buckets were used to put out fires. They would, when there were an alarm would happen in a town, everyone would rush to the fire, bring their buckets with them. They would start filling buckets and form what's called a bucket brigade.
Mm-hmm.
They'd throw the water onto the fire and then throw the bucket down. The kids would run the buckets back to the pond or the well or wherever they were drawing water from.
We've seen this phenomenon in period films, I'm sure.
Sure, mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but I would be very interested in seeing more.
Well, you'd be very interested in being hired by Hollywood in some way, shape, or form to create some more of these.
I actually have. I've made fire buckets for Pirates of the Caribbean and a couple of historic docudramas.
Okay, so my family loves Pirates of the Caribbean. My children, arguably at ages, in some cases, too young to see the movie, have nevertheless seen it 5 or 6 times. Did you enjoy that experience?
Oh, I love it. It's You don't get a lot of call for an esoteric trade like mine. That's probably why business is so good, is there are so few people left in the world that make leather fire buckets. If you're the only one left, then business has got to be reasonable.
Now, Stephen, besides Hollywood, who are your customers?
Several museums around the country. Mount Vernon, I made reproductions for them of George Washington's fire buckets.
Excellent. Now, we're only 15 minutes away from Mount Vernon, just down George Washington Parkway from Fool HQ. Does that mean if we trip on over there sometime next weekend, let's say, Stephen, we can find your leather fire buckets there on the property?
You will see them. They'll be prominently displayed. They took the originals that I reproduced and put those away so that they could be best preserved forever, and they set my reproductions in their stead so that the environment wouldn't further damage them.
I'm going to go in and I'm going to say, those are fake!
Well,
not fake.
I heard on this radio show that those are reproductions.
I'll disguise my voice.
I'm sure if you go in and tell them that, they'll take you in the conservation lab and show you the original.
Now, explain why leather, not metal?
Tin?
Tin?
Well, let's say you're at a firefighting event and someone throws a metal bucket off the ladder and you're there to catch it. Which one would you rather catch?
Your point.
They don't split when they hit the ground either.
Mm-hmm. Now tell me, let's say I would like to buy a leather fire bucket. Mm-hmm. I think it would actually make a lovely firewood holder, for instance. What am I paying for it?
Well, it depends. Most of the buckets that I reproduce are copies of the very elaborate ones from the 18th and 19th century. There you're going to spend almost $1,000, depending on the design and the degree of elaborate leather work. You can spend as little as a couple of hundred if you want a very plain, basic bucket, as were the most common ones in the period.
And how many of these do you produce a year? And let's say, how long does it take to even make one of the more elaborate ones?
An elaborate one is just about the only thing I can get done in a full week. And a week for me is a good 60 hours. Mm. My maximum production is, 50 fine ones in a year. I do make some common styles, so, I might make 1.5, 2, or 3 of those in a week, depending if I'm working in a production line manner. But everything's done in the 18th century same way, all hand-stitched, all the paintings done by hand. So it's a very slow process, and you figure out real quickly why we don't do things that way anymore.
Is there a razor and blades business model here at all, Stephen? I'm trying to think through this. Are there replacement parts? Are you able to sell service a year later? Do people have to sign the warranty or contract or something with you?
If anything ever went wrong with something I made, bring it back any time, and I will take care of it at no charge.
I absolutely wish I could hear that more from American business.
Well, that's why I say it, is that's what I want to hear.
That's great. Stephen, final question for you. How did you even get into this?
Well, I started over 25 years ago working as an apprentice in the harness and saddle shop at Colonial Williamsburg in Virginia.
Aha.
And from there, I learned the basics. After I left there, I studied originals and have spent my entire life trying to perfect a trade which was virtually lost. And so that's why I called, is you guys wanted to know strange things that people do in their work week, and it gets not too many people do more strange things than I do.
Thank you very much for your work. Congratulations on your commitment.
Well, thank you.
Our pleasure. The phone number is 866-NPR-FOOL. We're asking you once again, as we do every year at this time, on the Motley Fool Radio Show, how's business? Let's go to St. Louis. Sharon's on the line. Sharon, welcome.
Hi.
Sharon, how is business? What is business?
I'm a clinical psychologist in private practice.
Uh-huh. And how's business?
Business is good.
Can you
unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, not necessarily a great thing.
I don't necessarily view that. I mean, that's if you think that you only have business because of problems. But if you think that, if you take the attitude that in life there are always great problems to solve, and so the more people who are seeking, the more answers there are, I think that can be a good thing.
Absolutely.
So you will back me up on that, and you have a positive view of your work, Sharon.
I absolutely do. I think I help people create good lives for themselves, which is, it's fascinating, and it's really fun.
Oh, I like that. Do you have a specialty?
I do some couples work. I do some consulting with attorneys around employment issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I do some groups for women. Those might be considered specialties. Otherwise, I have a general practice.
Right.
And, you know, these days, lawyers are allowed to do commercials on television. I remember that wasn't the case 20 years ago. But it strikes me, I don't often see, I'm not even sure it's legal. Are there ever TV commercials? Would you ever consider doing one? Is that even legal today to say, hey, I'm a psychologist or a psychiatrist, maybe is more appropriate. Come talk to me.
I wouldn't consider it. Some people, I don't think it's illegal, but I think most people come to see a psychologist based on word of mouth, based on some feeling of trust for the person. And typically, traditional business advertising and marketing kinds of endeavors don't work well for psychologists.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was really just my way of asking, how do you find new clients?
Initially, when I was building my practice, I would go out and give talks to the public. I worked at various agencies where, you know, the clients would come to the agency, and then when they were done with a short-term situation with the agency, then they would come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And as I built my practice and I didn't need the agencies, then I let go of the contract work and just stayed in private practice.
And word of mouth then just takes over?
Absolutely.
Sharon, it sounds
word
like
of mouth. Insurance agencies also refer if you're on managed care panels.
Mm-hmm. Sharon, it sounds like you're kind of a generalist in the field, and I was wondering, can you get a sense of, say, how the economy is going based on what your patients are saying or what they're coming in to talk about?
I certainly can. I have a number of people who are in direct marketing, consulting, that kind of, and they are getting laid off sooner. If they're doing consulting work, they're not getting the consulting. Agencies are, they're just cutting out that part of their business because they don't have the money. So these people are having trouble finding work, and it's going longer and longer between jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And the contract work isn't coming in like it used to.
Right, and that could be a hard thing for people since for a lot of us, it's our jobs that define us as people, and I'm not sure that that's necessarily a healthy thing, David.
That's right, but it does seem like the people in direct marketing and advertising are really struggling right now and have been for a few years.
Okay. How about one tip for our listeners, your best peace of mind for us all to improve our mental health, Sharon?
I think get disciplined in the way you think about things and pay attention to which thoughts you become attached to and which ones you know are going to take you nowhere. Let those go if you possibly can.
That's great. Well, Sharon, good luck to you.
Thank you.
A real pleasure. Thank you, Sharon. Good luck.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a fireman. Oh, that's just kid stuff. Yeah, that's just kid stuff. When I grow up, I don't want to be a policeman.